Bags down, spikes on, welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman, and I'm going to be your host of this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And today we have a very special episode. We're going to be recapping my favorite events from the USA Championship and going over all the things that we're super excited about from this past weekend. But with our first topic and our first thing that I was super excited about when it came to the US Championship. Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you gotta look the best. Link is in the description, and now back to the video. Sydney McLaughlin obviously broke her world record once again. She runs a 51.41 in the 400 meter hurdles, which breaks her previous world record, and now puts her 1.2 seconds faster than the second fastest person in the year this year. That's crazy. She is running over a second faster than the next best person in this event. She also would have qualified for the 400 meter open final at USA's with her time of 51.41, which she did over hurdles. Not to mention that, but this now puts her at having four out of the top five fastest times ever, holding the number one time, the number two time, the number four time, and the number five time. Dalia Muhammad is the one that has the third fastest time ever. So Sydney McLaughlin is on another level. She is part of this tier of athletes that the only way that they lose is if they have an awful day. And there are very few amount of athletes that are on that tier list. I would say it's Sydney McLaughlin. I'd say it's Ryan Crouser. It's Mondo Duplantis. Yeah, other than that, like, that's it. Like, the athletes where they're just in another stratosphere when it comes to being able to compete at a high level are very, very small. And she's probably one of the headliners for it. And it's really cool to see just her demeanor towards winning as well. She's extraordinarily humble. You know, after these interviews, you know, she's giving God the glory for this and thanking her team, her coaching staff, and everything like that. It's so interesting to see just how she handles the limelight, how she handles winning and treats the fans and everyone like that. So she's been a real treat to watch competing over these years. And the question that I've been thinking is, when will we see her run sub 51 and get into those 50s? I mean, she's less than half a second there now. She's been progressing every single time she's had a major championship. I mean, look at the last three majors she's been in. She's broken the world record. She broke the world record at USA's this year. She broke the world record at the Olympics last year. And she broke the world record at the Olympic trials the year before that. So she is just continuing to go on this tear of elite performances when it matters the most. Like, she shows up when you need her to show up. And it's so wild because she's at that point where a world record's expected. Like, that's how good she is. Her compete, and that was, in my opinion, the best performance that we saw this weekend. And when she did it, it was just kind of like, okay, makes sense. All right, off to the next thing. She's just that great. Fred Curley running a 9.76 in the semifinals, and then a 9.77 in the finals, and beginning off this meet with a 9.83 in the 100 meter prelims. So Fred Curley, once again, goes on a tear during this USA Championship. So he drops three times that are sub 9.9, three times that would have been the world leads at the time. So 9.83, then 9.76, then 9.77. Those three times would have been the world leads going into this meet. And so he just is showing extraordinary consistency when it matters the most. And he is really developing his speed and showing that, no, he is not just that 400 meter runner trying to do the 100. He has legitimate 100 meter speeds. He beats Marvin Bracy, who equals his PR with a time of 9.85, and then beats Trayvon Bermell, who was the world's fastest man last year, the man to beat in many people's eyes this year, with a 9.88. And so Fred Gurley is performing great right now when you're going into the World Championships, which is just 3 weeks away. So it's like, man, what's going to happen up here? Are we going to see a sub-9.7? I mean, like, let's take a look at the consistency that Fred Gurley has had. This is the consistency that he's had. So since the Olympics, he has run sub-10 in 13 out of 14 races. And then since the Olympics, he has run sub-9.9 in 6 of those races. So a little under half of his races that he ran sub-10, he has ran sub-9.9. And then 3 of those races, he has run sub-9.8. So he is doing an extraordinary job here, putting together good races when it matters the most. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen next. I mean, the trend looks like, okay, looks like you're probably going to be popping a 9.6 here soon, because you've done these two fast times. And everyone knows, in order to have that one pop off, you need to be consistent at that time right underneath it. So, hey, you want to run sub-10 for the first time, you got to run a lot of 10.1s, 10.2s, and then that sub-10 is going to pop. We saw that here with Elijah Hall. He comes in 5th place, but he ran a 9.9, a big PR for him. First time under 10. And he had ran 10.0s, 10.1s, you know, 10.09s, whatever, a lot, very consistently. And then now he pops that 9.9. I also just feel really, really good for him. I mean, he drops his PR, and he definitely was going through a lot of emotions, most likely, you know, with his friend and training partner, you know, passing away with Bermell. And so having him kind of live on with his legacy there and continuing and running a really fast time, coming in 5th, something that he definitely had to be really proud of, for sure. So that was my next favorite thing. We're going to be talking about my picks for the 100 or the 4x1 soon. So we're not going to be talking about that now. Next week, we're going to be talking about picks for the 4x1 and picks for the 4x4. So if you're looking for all that info, we're going to talk about that later. Women's 200, and that was Abby Steiner. So Abby Steiner drops a 21.77, which was the new world leading mark. It no longer is, because Sharika Jackson runs 21.55. But it is now the second fastest time in the world, the fastest time in the United States, and would have been a national record for college track and field. But since it's post-nationals, it doesn't count, but it's still an all-time time since she was running under the Kentucky uniform. She also ran a 21.80 in the semis. In the finals, she ended up beating Tamara Clark, who ran a time of 21.92, and Jenna Prandini, who ran a time of 22.01. So just like Fred Gurley, Abby Steiner is putting together an amazing season when it matters the most. She obviously had made the national championship team. It's really great to see her come out here and perform, because she wasn't able to compete at the world stage last year due to an injury, which really was a bummer, because she was one of the favorites to potentially be making that team. And then to come back and put on a show like this was excellent. It's also was cool, because in her interviews she had touched on, like, yeah, everyone talks about how, you know, they're gonna limit you, and, you know, you're gonna be washed up by the time you go to for college athletes, you're gonna be washed up by the time you get to USA's because you've ran so many meets. But, you know, that just wasn't the case. You know, I went through the rounds, I did well, and, you know, I performed at the highest level. And it's like, yeah, you're right. And I was one of those people that thought, you know, college athletes are just gonna be, you know, beat up by the time you make it to the US Championships, because you ran almost every weekend since December. But she shows, no, that's not the case. And many of these athletes show, no, that's not the case. You know, just because you've ran all of this, you know, all of these rounds, doesn't mean that you're just automatically done now. It's like, wait, you peaked last week? Why wouldn't you be able to do the same thing this week, or 2 weeks ago? Why wouldn't you be able to do the same thing this week. So, she's been a monster, and you know, she's going to be on my podium most likely for who's going to make a medal at the World Championships. I mean, what? She's number 2 right now in the world, and you know, we saw Jackson ended up beating both of the other sprinters, and you know, with Elaine Thompson-Roche, Elaine Fraser-Pryce. So I think she's obviously in the conversation. Abby has to be in that, man. Notable name here that's not on the women's team, Gabby Thomas. So she had mentioned that she had been going through an injury recently. She had had a hamstring tear 2 weeks ago, but she still wanted to try and make the team. So the fact that she even made the final in the USA 200 is astonishing to me. Like, the fact that you have this terrible injury just 2 weeks ago and you rehab it and you're able to make the final, you know, is impressive in its own. Stinks because it would have loved to see her be able to compete in the World Championships, but she'll be back and better than ever. Obviously, she's a world-class talent, so hopefully we'll be able to see how she does in the future here. Up next kind of ties into everything we just talked about, and that's just college athletes as a whole at this world champion or at this U.S. championship. So for USA's, it looked like 22 college athletes came in the top 3, and then we had 5 champions as well. So for the champions, Abby Steiner, Talitha Diggs, Raven Gray, Melissa Jefferson, and Ethan Dabbs. So 5 champions. And remember, many people are, including myself, were saying how college athletes are going to be, you know, tired from this entire season, but it goes to show that's not really the case. We had 22 college athletes come in the top 3, and this is also not including the decathletes. So, you know, Kyle Garland and Anna Hall, this isn't including them, who also made the team. So really, that is 24 college athletes that made the team and 26 college athletes that won a championship. So college athletes are coming to play, and it seems like their training is, you know, able to still carry them on through these longer rounds. It'll be interesting to see how this is going to go down when it comes to Worlds, because that's, once again, another championship that you're going to have in 3 weeks. And so the peaking cycle has to be difficult. Like, I'm glad I'm not a coach here. If you have an athlete that is, you know, qualifying for Worlds, you had to peak for the national championship, and then you had to, you know, your peak could probably carry on through USA's, and then you got to peak again at the World Championship. And so it's like, oh man, we have 3 of these peaks that we're trying to hit within, like, you know, a couple, you know, month and a half period. You know, that's got to be tough for anyone. I couldn't imagine trying to, you know, orchestrate the training cycle in order to do that. But yeah, it's been really crazy to see how well these college athletes are performing. I mean, Florida just on its own, you know, doing really well. Talitha Diggs winning, Anna Hall, you know, winning. You had Jasmine Moore. So Jasmine Moore, you know, winning, you know, not winning, but coming in second and third in the long jump and triple jump, you know, making 2 teams, one of the only college athletes that was able to do that. So adding this second segment to the episode, I originally recorded this entire episode before the news of who was in the Bowerman got released, but after seeing what was just going on, I have to talk about that right now and here. So yesterday, the Bowerman releases their finalist, and they have Anna Hall, Abby Steiner, and Cameron Rogers on the list. And all 3 of those women are very deserving to be on the list. Anna Hall, obviously your indoor and outdoor champion in both the pentathlon and the heptathlon. You have Cameron Rogers, who was the national record holder now in the hammer throw. She has all of the top 10 throws all time in the hammer for the women. And then you have Abby Steiner, who is your indoor-outdoor national champion, and then indoor-outdoor 200-meter record holder. And so all 3 of those women are very deserving. But Anna Hall needs to be on that list. Let's take a look at what Jasmine Moore deserves to be on that list. So let's take a look at what Jasmine Moore has done. She went 8-for-8 in championships this year. So she won SECs and she won nationals, both indoors and outdoors, for both long jump and triple jump. She also broke the national record in the triple jump indoors. And then I know it's outside of the college track, but she also made Team USA in both the long jump and the triple jump. She's one of four athletes to be able to do that. And so she needs to be on that list. In my opinion, the Bowerman should have, at the bare minimum, had a four-person finalist. I know all the time, their entire history, they have had three finalists the entire time. But this year is an exception, because this year the athletes are exceptional. Because Jasmine Moore, if she had done what she did this year, and she did it almost any other season, she's your Bowerman winner. But she's doing it in a year where you have four ladies that are extraordinarily exceptional, so she doesn't win. But she needs to be on that list. If you're going to say, Colin, we can't put four people on the list for whatever reason, we're just not making that exception, well, then I'll go back to what my picks were originally. And so my picks were, I had Jasmine Moore first, I had Abby Steiner second, and then I had Anna Hall third. So that would say, I'd say Cameron Rogers would be out of it. And you're saying, but she's a national record holder. Yes, same with Jasmine Moore. Jasmine Moore is also a national record holder. Jasmine Moore's a national record holder, and she has won four national championships. Cam Rogers has won one national championship. So I don't want to demean these other athletes. Like, that's not the point of this. Like, the point is, I want to, you know, we're bringing up this athlete that should be and is deserving to be on this list. But if you're saying it has to only be three, who are you kidding, taking off? I'm taking off Cameron Rogers, because while her season was exceptional, she only did one event, where the other ladies on this final have done multiple events. You know, Abby Steiner, the one and the two. Anna Hall, she does the heptathlon, pentathlon, which in and of itself are multiple events. And then you have Jasmine Moore, who did two events. And so that's where I'm coming from. Like, she needs to be on this list. And if that means that, you know, you've got to take some people off, that's who you're going with. Like I said, I believe all four of those ladies should be in the final, but not having her there is criminal. It should not be allowed. And it's funny, because the Bowerman knows that they messed up. If you look at all of their posts that they've ever made, all the posts, they all allow for comments. You're allowed to make comments on the posts and their tweets and on their Instagram. But it's funny that with this Bowerman finalist, they took the comments away. You're not allowed to make them, where you can for every single one. So the only reason you would do that, because it's an intentional move, is if you know you messed up. And so they know they did something that people were going to be mad at, and so they turned the comments off so they couldn't say it right on their posts. You got to do better, Bowerman. You got to do better. Now, back to your episode. Now, let's go on over to the last story that we have here, and that's going to be the Noah Lyles 200-meter dash. So, for the men's 200, Noah Lyles ends up winning, running a time of 19.67. He beats Arian Knighton with a time of 19.69, and then Fred Curley, who made his second team in the 200 with a time of 19.83. And then, as a note, since Noah Lyles already has a bye, the fourth place performer, which was Kenny Bednarik, who ran a 19.87, he will be going to the team as well. So your team will be Lyles, Knighton, Curley, Bednarik. Josephus Lyles just misses out on the team. He ran a 19.93, which is a PR for him. That would have been awesome to see the Lyles brothers competing together at the world stage, but just missed out barely on that. So Noah Lyles, the reason that this was such a great performance, one, the time was really good. You know, 19.67 was awesome, but it was the way that he won and then what happened after, which was why this was one of my favorite moments from the meet.
I do what it takes to win. Arian got the best of me on the turn. I saw him, he reached his top speed, and I said, mine is faster. That's how I'm gonna catch him, and that's what I did.
Arian, your rise has been pretty incredible. What do you learn from this moment? You will be coming back here for the Worlds at a pretty fast time you already ran as well.
Just come back and win. Job not finished. It's never finished.
It ain't finished.
So if you watch the race, Arian Knighton is leading the pack for the first 115 meters. They have the splits here. And so through 100 meters, Arian Knighton came through 100 meters in a 10.31, and Noah Lyles came through in a 10.44. So Noah Lyles was in fourth place at the time, and Arian Knighton was in first place at the time. Through 150 meters, Arian Knighton was at a 14.86. So through 150 meters, Arian Knighton, 14.86. Noah Lyles was at a 14.98, who was in third place at the time. And so within 50 meters, this guy made up two different places and made up, what is that? Nearly .12 seconds, which is like, oh, that's 0.12. 0.12 is a lot because he makes that up and then makes up two extra points. So he makes up 0.14 within 50 meters. So in a 50 meter, you know, area, he goes from third to first and makes up that ground of probably about half a meter. So that was an amazing comeback. And what we saw at the end of the race, we saw Noah Lyles, you know, giving a little point over to Arian Knighton. He said in a tweet that it wasn't to Arian Knighton, it was to all the haters. That was a cold move. That was a cold move. Just the entire race was. So it was just a really cold and really cool interaction to see these two athletes performing at their top of the line, going at each other and creating this little rivalry. They train together, they're training partners, they know who each other are. And so to see this kind of, you know, the old guard, the new guard, even though Noah Lyles isn't old, he's still what, 24 years old, but you got this high school kid versus this, you know, 24-year-old who's in the peak of his career right now, going at it. And that was a really cool interaction. Did the same thing in some other post-race interviews.
They just think that I'm going to lose because somebody else is running fast. They think I'm going to fold out here because I got a 19.4 in the race. You got to run 19.4 every day. I'm coming out here to race the person, not the time. Just like I wasn't 19.50 today, but he wasn't 19.4 today. Fred wasn't 19.7, but we can all do it. But you got to remember that you got to come out here and you got to race on that day. And I'm a competitor. I'm going to come do it. And to be honest, there was a few too many people that I saw out there who was just dropping out because they had to buy. I had 500 people come up to me. You going to race the next round? You going to race the next round? Why would I not? This is my championship. I'm just not going to let it go. I fight for that thing. I worked hard for that to get it the first year, the second year, the third year. Is this the fourth year? Yeah. I'm just working on my counting, you know. I'm not that good at math.
That was a really good interaction. So this is setting up a really fun time to see what's going to happen at the World Championships, because now there's some stuff on the line. It's not just who's going to be the 200 meter champion. It's, okay, who's going to get their revenge? Noah Lyles? Is Noah Lyles going to reestablish why he is the best 200 meter runner in the United States? Or is Arian Knighton going to come back and say, yeah, you got me when it happened at USA's. You were the better man at USA's. But I'm still the fastest man in the world this year when it comes to the 200. Is he going to be able to do that? And so this is setting up a really good storyline that hopefully we capitalize on over the next 3 weeks going into that 200 meter championship at the Worlds. And so I'm looking forward to that. Or could we even see somebody else sneak by and end up getting the win there? I mean, obviously, Fred Curley, you know, he's coming off of those 100-meter performances. He had two sub-20 performances here, gets top three. How are we going to see him execute when it comes to the 200-meter as well? So overall, fantastic competition when it came to USA's. Just going over the top five favorite performances for me. Obviously, there are many other great performances and storylines that we could go over, but we want to make sure we keep it short and sweet, let you know what are some of the things that I liked. What were some of the stories you enjoyed? Your favorite meets, your favorite storylines, favorite competitions, all of that. Also, if you're looking for conversations on Sha'Carri Richardson, so if you wanted to hear my take on her not qualifying for the 100 and the 200. I don't talk about the 200, but if you wanted to hear, you know, my take on the 100 meters, I did make a video on that. You can check out the channel where it's just a one video talking about Sha'Carri Richardson. It says reaction, Sha'Carri Richardson loses in the prelims, and you can listen about that. It has my entire take, all my points, but I wanted to focus in on some of the other athletes in this video. So if you want that, you can go check that out. That's gonna do it for us here. If you want more content, make sure that you subscribe, leave a like, leave a comment. It really helps us know you're enjoying the stuff. If you want more content, go over on Instagram @trackworldnews. We post almost daily over there. That's going to do it for us here. Have a good one. Peace.